How's it going? Great. Good. That's good. So, if I don't know you, now, my name is Tony, and your name is? Ah, that's a funny name. No, what's your name? Sandy. Good to meet you. It's good to meet you, too. See, where I come from, I don't want to irritate you or offend you so quickly. I'll offend you later. One of my gifts is to offend people. Not really. No, not really. The truth offends. The truth offends. But if you don't know me, you probably looking at me now thinking, who are you? What do you got to say? In fact, I don't have much to say. I don't know much. But when I grew up, I've said this on Friday night, I said on Saturday morning, and I'm saying it again now, that when I grew up, I looked up to certain people, and if you were a grandfather, if you were a grandpa is somebody that you respect, isn't that true? I mean, they've been around, they've had children, now they've got grandchildren. You respect those people. So my claim to fame is I'm a grandpa. So I come as Grandpa Tony. My second grandchild is going to be born in about 20 weeks. Isn't that wonderful? So wherever I go now, I don't rave about anything, of course, but Jesus and my grandchildren. I mean, I've got a picture here. I'm sure you'd like to see this. I mean, can you see that far there? Can you see that far? That's the most beautiful grandchild that's ever walked on planet Earth. Okay, she's gone now. She will only let you see her for so long, and then she disappears. But we've got another little grand girl coming. Anyway, just about children. We love having children. We've had four children of our own. We grew up in Natal. We came to Four Ways about 16 years ago to plant the church. My wife and I, Susanna, we planted the church in our home 16 years ago. There was just us and one other couple, and slowly God's brought people along our path, and we love the church. We're having a wonderful time. We're just down the road there. They're getting ready for their second meeting. We have two meetings on a Sunday morning, and it's a privilege for me to be in this church. We are friends of the church. We are friends of some of you, and it's a great delight for us to be here. Mates with Brad and Charissa, I don't want to claim any fame here, but I have a lot of faith when it comes to children. And we've prayed, my wife and I have prayed for people all over the world that couldn't have children. All over the world. There's about three or four couples in our, you wonder why you say three or four. I don't know how many couples exactly there are in our church that couldn't have children. One is my eldership team, you know, Ronnie and Nadia. They were married for 12 years, couldn't have kids. We met them, we laid our hands upon them, and little Timothy is about 6 years old. He runs around. And I remember being in a meeting about 4 or 5 years ago with Brad and Charissa, and a man by the name of Ashley Bell was preaching. And at the end of the meeting, it was hosted by our church. I've got the mic, and I said, I have faith for any couples here that can't have children. And Brad and Charissa stood up, me and my wife laid our hands upon her, and little Carter is born today. So I know there's lots of people that have prayed for Brad and Charissa. So it's not just us, but we claim some fruit out of that. So if you are here this morning and you can't have children, if you're married and you can't have children, then we would love to pray for you. Honestly, we really would love to do that. We've had reports coming from all over the world for people that we've prayed for. It's a wonderful blessing to have children. So, Grandpa Tony is in the house. It's great to be here. It's great to be here. I've grown up as a man, as a boy and as a man, that have always been attracted to dangerous things. I don't know why. It's just, I don't like to play safe. I don't like to preach safe. But I will be a lot more dignified and respectful to some of you this morning, Bruce and others. I'll be respectful to you this morning. But in our own church, I don't hold back. I don't play it safe because I don't like safe. To be a Christian is not safe. To be a Christian is to flow upstream. To be a Christian is to be different. We're not like anything else. We are radical. We are courageous. We are wild. I mean, to follow God is to be wild. And I want to maybe breathe some wildness into us this morning, but I will hold back a little bit, and depends on how you react, we'll get going. But I don't know why, as I suppose it's the way God's made us, He's made us all differently, but I don't like to play safe. I like dangerous stuff, except for heights. I don't do heights. Now, a few years ago, a few years ago, it's because I like to stay close to planet Earth. A few years ago, my children, my daughter, who's given me these grandkids, and my son, my eldest son, they went, skydiving. And of course I went along there because somebody has to be on the ground to pray. And this was my prayer. I'd do anything else but heights. This was my prayer is, Lord, there's a lot of kids there. If one of the parachutes doesn't open, please let it not be my child. There's lots of kids here, okay? Now, you might think that's, how can you do that? I mean, that's crazy. Well, my responsibility is to pray for my children. You pray for your own, okay? So if your father wasn't there, that's not my issue. When my kids landed on planet Earth, I was so relieved. I didn't worry about anybody else. I was just happy my kids were there. So I don't do heights. Okay. I do silly things. Like, I was in Germany last year. We were preaching in Germany. We had the opportunity to go from Holland to Germany on motorbikes. And I was on this superbike on the Autobahn. You know, the Autobahn has no speed limit. Okay? So I'm not saying that you should do this. But this is what I did, John. On the Autobahn, I went 260 kilometers on this motorbike, and then I got a little bit scared. I thought, I better stop. We pulled off, and we had some coffee at the shop. I got back on the motorbike, and I said, I'm not going to race again, because that's crazy. But before I knew it, this bike was taking me to 260 again. So I actually swapped bikes, you know, because this was a silly bike. Anyway, I like to live dangerous. And when it comes to what I have to share this morning, this is about dangerous prayers. And that's the title of my message this morning, How to Pray Dangerously. And so that excites me that even in the Bible, when I read my Bible, there's a lot of dangerous stuff there. Isn't that true? Some wild stuff there, some courageous stuff there. And so I want to share that with you this morning, a way to pray dangerously. Now, prayer is an interesting and wonderful gift that God's given us. But I think, as Christians, we've over-churched. Sometimes we over-church and we over-religious. When I first got saved, I got saved out of a wild life, came through the cross, and now I'm saved, but I want to be wild still, but wild for Jesus. But when I first came into the church, I would engage people, and I'd be friends with the people in the church, and then all of a sudden, I'd go to a prayer meeting, and all of a sudden, the language was changed. Like, I'd be speaking to John like this, normal, and then when he comes to the prayer meeting, it's all of a sudden, oh, praise you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you that I'm washed in the blood. And I was like, what is wrong with you? I wanted to say. I wanted to grab him. Not John, I'm just hypothesizing here, but there were people like that. It's like, you don't have to be weird before God. You don't have to pray in different language and different use different words and different tone. You just speak to God. That's prayer. You just come to God and you pray and you speak. Don't be weird. We don't like weird Christians. We like authentic Christians. Just be authentic and be who you are. So prayer is just a natural outflowing of what's in our hearts and our desires for God and our petitions and our prayers towards God. We had a funeral about 5 years ago. My mom died of old age. She had Parkinson's. And we went to a church that I grew up in, back in Natal, and my brother was there. My brother is not a church going. He's not a, when I say church going, he doesn't go to church, and I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I don't think he is, but it's not for me to decide and to judge. But I don't think he's a Christian, okay? I haven't seen him cross the line of faith and so and so. So we were in this church, and the person that was leading the meeting, at the end of the meeting, after my mom's funeral, he took out this book and he read a prayer. Just read this prayer, long prayer. And at coffee afterwards, my brother said to me, because I'm a pastor and I should know these things, he said, Tony, surely that prayer is not authentic. It's not from the heart. Aren't you supposed to pray from your heart? Now, this is my brother who doesn't know anything about church. Now, I do believe that you and I can write prayers down and we can read them, no problem. But if we always just pick up a book and every time we come before God, it's the same prayer that we read. It became monotonous and boring and lacks life. And just from my own brother, that's quite interesting that he would say that. Surely a prayer should come from your heart, okay? And so I want to share some prayers with you this morning that I could suggest or challenge you to pray from your heart, but they're dangerous. So if you don't like to live dangerously and you like to live cautiously, then maybe you should just listen and maybe ask God for the courage to pray for these later. Please don't just say, oh, I'll pray those, because let's work through them before you just commit. But I want to read from Psalm chapter 139, verse 1 and 12 this morning. This is David. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. It's amazing. God knows everything about us, as you were saying this morning. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. I don't want anyone to lay their hand upon me unless you mean good to me and you're going to be praying for me. But this gives me courage. His hand is upon me. His hand is upon you if you surrender to Him. When His hand is upon you, that gives you confidence, it gives you security, it gives you everything you need. His hand is upon me. This is David saying, I pray the same thing. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be not. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. Verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I'm going to, out of that portion of Scripture, I'm going to suggest or propose four prayers that you and I can pray. Because, but let me just lay this foundation, that I believe that salvation is a gift that God has given me, that He will never take away from me. I am His child, and I'll always be His child. Okay? I don't have to be fearful of my salvation. I don't have to come to God with this, you know, will I mess up and He's going to reject me? He said He will never leave me and never forsake me. He says He'll be with me to the end. Okay? So this is the confidence that I have, that He saved me. I didn't do anything to deserve my salvation. I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. It was a gift that He's given me. But now that I've got this gift motivates me to live a life that brings Him honor and praise and glory, okay? That's how I want to live my life, because of this gift. I'm not trying to earn this gift. It's been given to me. But I need to sort my life out. I need to examine my life. We need to examine our lives every day and see if we are walking in a way that's pleasing to Him. Not trying to earn His love. He loves us. That's period. That's the foundation. God loves us. But because He loves us, that should motivate us to live a life that honors Him. Okay? So these prayers are prayers to examine your life. The first one is search me. We invite God to search us. Are you ready for that? You know, if your life, I don't know what you did this last week. Or let's say this last month. Let's just take your life and my life this last month. What you thought, what you said, what you did, and we put it on public display. Everything you did, we put it, and we all sit here and look back. Would any one of you be happy that your whole life, every thought, every word, every action would be displayed on the screen there? I don't want you to see any of my stuff. Because I don't know how merciful you'll be towards me. I might end up hanging from the rope there. And so would you. But with God, Jesus forgives us our sins. But are you ready for Him to search you? Take His searchlight and shine it in the deepest recess of your heart. Because you know the Bible says the heart is wicked. Isn't that true? I am overwhelmed by sometimes how I can be so loving towards people, and my thoughts and my words are just gracious. And then in the next breath, I can be thinking words, I can be thinking thoughts of anger and revenge and retaliation. Ever felt like that? This is the challenge that we have as Christians. We're not perfect. I wish I didn't have so many negative thoughts, but unfortunately I do. We still live in this body and we will continue, but we are becoming more and more like Jesus as we grow. So search me, Lord. Expose whatever's there. Whatever's there, expose it. You know, the thing that grieves me the most by being a pastor is this, is the judgment that we have towards one another as Christians. We are so often, we have so little mercy for one another. We are so judgmental towards one another. We gossip about one another. We slander each other. We use malicious words towards one another. It grieves me. We Christians, for goodness sake. Nothing should come out of our mouths that tears down, but only that builds up. Isn't that true? We are Christians. But you know, we've become so good at saying the right thing. I can be in somebody's presence sometimes and they say the right thing, but I feel defeated. I feel despondent because there's a motive, there's a spirit behind what they're saying. You know, we can say the right stuff but have a different motive, different meaning. We shouldn't be like that. There shouldn't be surprises. When I say something, it should be open and authentic and transparent for us. So we're saying, God, search me. What David is saying here is that he's acknowledging that God knows everything. Where can I go? You know everything. He lays his heart completely bare before God. Why do we hide from God, friends? We don't need to hide from him. He knows everything. And when you live like that, there's freedom. When you're always trying to duck and dive and hide and zigzag and jigger jigger here and there, you're always having to cover your path and cover what you've said. And I would hate to live like that. Just live radically wild and courageous for him. Search me, oh God. I used to do this with my children as I raised my children up. I'm very big on raising children and training them. You know, the Bible says, train your child in the way. And so I was very hands-on. I got the most beautiful wife and wonderful mother to my children I'm married to. But I was a hands-on. I wanted to know where they went, who they played with, what they watched on TV, everything. What was the influence in their lives? I was very concerned about that in the young days. And I like to train my children like this. You know, kids, they it's like the whole thing's coming around again with our little grandchild, Katie. She's 14 months old. And guess, I am the apple of her eye. And that's a true story. When she sees me, she puts her hands like this, and she just runs to me. She calls me Gaga. And I've got a motorbike, okay? And whenever she sees me, she says, Gaga, and she goes, hum, 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 hum. And every time I take her and I put her on my motorbike and I start it, she's got a love-fear relationship. I've got a Harley, and it's loud. So she's got love-fear. She sits in there, she sits on it, and I start it. And if I just let it idle, she's fine. When I go, she wants to get off. And then as soon as I take off, she wants to get back on again. See, I can hardly even stick to my notes here. My grandchild is getting in the way. So it's just coming around again. When I used to raise my children, they do stuff which is naughty, and they think that you don't know. So I used to make out that I didn't know what was going on, but of course I know everything. And I try and lead them to confess their naughtiness or their sin or their wrongdoing themselves. What I was doing, I was coaching them to live transparently, helping them to stop hiding. There's one thing I don't want with my children, to hide. I'd rather, if you've done bad, let me know, and I'll deal with that, and I'll help you, and I'll love you, and I'll discipline you if I have to. But don't hide from me, whatever it may be. Live transparently, and that's how we should live before God. Transparent. Search me. Is there any jealousy in my heart? Is there jealousy? You know, when you're jealous of somebody, somebody else will tell you, oh, gee, do you know what happened? Did you see what happened with Hilton? And you say, yes, I'm so happy. You liar. You're so happy on the outside, but there's something, your heart is, something's pricking your heart. Am I the only one that feels this? Can somebody say amen? You feel the same? There's something wrong there if you feel like that. There's jealousy. Or what about bitterness? What about unforgiveness? What about resentment in your heart? Somebody did you wrong and you have this anger or this unforgiveness or this judgment in your heart towards those people. God wants to deliver you of that. And I, search me, O Lord, deliver me of this stuff. Then the next prayer I suggest or propose to you is, break me. Break me, Lord. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, there's a time to break down and there's a time to build up. Now, my boxing coach is in our church. We've actually seen a whole lot of these wild cage fighters and boxers and all them come into the life of our church. It's wonderful. So I've got the most amazing bodyguards. You know, I think I just have to say, and they just all run there and say, okay, who's got a problem with Pastor T? Can I tell you a quick story? It's quite a scary story. We had this guy. We actually reached some really crazy guys in the life of the church. So there was a guy. So this guy's name is Jack. It's not his name. But his name is, let's just use it, his name is Jack. There was another guy. He was in our church a while ago. Also like a bad kind of guy. And he got upset with me because I didn't visit him or something. So I thought, let me just make sure he's not sitting here. I've got no bodyguards here. And there's no one big enough here to help me. Oh, no, sorry. Do you want to know the story or should I move on? So this is dangerous. So this guy, he was very upset with me and he left the church and he told everybody I upset and I did this and this. And he's quite a bad guy, so I just ignored him. I just thought, okay. Part of me is like, listen, dude, I don't have time for games. I'm trying to live before God. I'm trying to lead a church. I haven't got time. I'm sorry that I didn't visit you, but now you're playing like a baby now. So I'll just ignore you. I saw him in the gym, and I just ignored the guy, okay? I just thought, I don't have time for politics. You're angry with me. Get over it. I'm sorry that I told you I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. So then this guy, this new friend of mine, Jack, I was having lunch with him the other day, a while back, and I said, do you know this guy that's upset, do you know him? He says, yeah, I know him. Why? So I told him the story. He left the church. He said, I'm going to go talk to him. Now, this guy's he's on the news all the time. He's like a bad guy. But he gets saved. He got saved the other day. And every Sunday, he's getting saved. Every Sunday. It's beautiful. Every Sunday, he's putting his hand up. So he says, I'm going to go talk to this guy. So I said, no, please, man, leave it. Don't talk. I don't want drama. That's why I ignore this guy. I don't want drama. The next day, I'm sitting in the elders' meeting, and my phone comes, and yes, Jack, his phone, the phone's ringing. So I said, hello? He says, Tony, is that you? I said, yeah. He says, just hang on a second. Somebody wants to talk to you. And he gives the phone to this other guy. This other guy's on the phone. He says, hey, yeah. Oh, gee, Tony, Pastor Tony, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I did this. I just said, dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't want that to happen, and I just made excuses, and I put the phone down, and then I phoned him back later, this guy, the other guy, and I said to him, I'm so sorry that this happened. He said, you know what? It was actually ended up a good thing. Because the two of them had an issue for about 6 years. There was some drama. They made up. Me and this guy made up. And everything's restored. But what I'm saying, don't mess with me. I know people. I just have to say, Jack, do you know John? I'll sort him out. Break me. So I'm not talking about that kind of breaking, okay? These guys, if I say break, they think literally they'll go break somebody. It's like, we're Christian now. We don't break. We've got car park. We've got car park duty. You know, we've got a farmer's market there. Our car park is a mess. The other day, I had the one guy. So we've got guys at the car park making sure cars go to the Roma Cafe. They come to the church. They go to the farmer's market. We all try and keep separate. The other day, I had this guy running into the church. He's a Mlungu, okay? He's a white man. But he was whiter than white. He comes running into the church, and I come up to him and say, hey, what's the problem? He says, somebody's trying to beat me up at the gate. I said, welcome to Four Ways Community Church. People get so angry. You tell them, no, you can't park here. You have to go there. I'm going to park here. No, you have to park up there, please. This is for the church. Who said this is? They open the door. They come out there. So I think I'm going to send some of these guys out there. Break me. So what are we saying is break me? Is It's part of our learning is unlearning. Now, please, you might be sitting here being offended by the stuff I'm saying. This is real. I'm not making this up. This is authentic. And it's, you know what? In fact, it's exciting. It's very exciting. It's messy. If you want to reach lost people, you know, we can be so churchy that lost people come in here and they feel I don't belong here. These people are too good. They're too holy. They're too nice. They're too perfect. I don't belong here. I am filthy. I am rotten. I am sinful. I need Jesus, but I don't feel welcome here because they're looking at me and like badly. You know? So I think we need to be careful. It's messy. If you're going to reach lost people, life will get messy for you. It's so messy for me. I have to like tap out every now and again and just say, babes, I don't want to hang with those guys. It's like, but they're coming to the Lord, which is beautiful. Break me, Lord. Break me. Teach me again. Maybe the way you've done stuff, maybe the way you think towards lost people or sinful people, maybe that needs to be broken. Maybe it needs to change. Maybe you need to ask God, God, give me a heart for those sinful people. Those bad people, give me a heart for them. I've become like a Pharisee. When I see them, I judge them. And they're filthy. I don't want to be near them. Who did Jesus hang with? Who was attracted to Jesus? Was dirty, rotten, stinky sinners like you were and like I was. They were attracted to Jesus. And he'd never turned them away. He told them, go and sin no more. But he accepted them and he embraced them. And let's be careful. We don't become so holy that people aren't attracted to us. Break me, Lord. Maybe there's some sinful habits that you have. Maybe some strongholds in your life. You're saying, God, break those things. Help me break the hold, the stronghold, the authority that it has over my life. Break me, Lord. We have to unlearn. Maybe you're easily offended. You see, as Christians, we need to ask God to help us to be strong in our hearts, that we're not easily offended. People say something, all of a sudden you're offended. I've got a whole sermon on taking offense. So I don't give you offense, you take offense. And if we're easily offended, there's a weakness in us. We need to be stronger as Christians. We need to be able to overcome. So these are dangerous places. Break me, Lord. Anything that's not of you, break it. But this is the way I deal with God. In, of course, reverence and fear, but I love God as my Father. So when I'm going through a tough time or he's trying to teach me something, this is my communication with all reverence and fear. It's like, Lord, I'm going through this tough time. You're trying to teach me something. But you know what, Lord? I'm a quick learner. Let's make this quick. Whatever you're taking me through, whatever lesson you want to teach me quickly, Lord, because I'm a quick learner, and let's get through it, you know? And sometimes he says, okay, you're just going to go around the mountain again. Or sometimes he sets me free. But he helps me. So break me. What about stretch me? Another dangerous prayer. Stretch me, Lord. Are you content with your relationship with Jesus, or are you just going through the motions? You come to church on a Sunday, and when it's at the right place, you raise your hands. We raise our hands, holy hands, before you, Lord. But you mean it. It's meaningless. It's ritual. It's got no life. You know, you're just doing it because maybe you want to look holy, or you want the people behind you to see that at least you raised your hands. You know, and we can become so religious. We had last Sunday, we had this guy, Jack. He brought two of his friends. Now, I have a lunch with this guy. He was part of the Oscar Pistorius trial and blah, 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 so he's quite connected. So I go for lunch with him once a week. And wherever we go, he everyone knows him. I meet about 10 people every time I'm with him. Hey, and he always calls him and says, hey, this is Pastor T. You must come to Pastor T's church, man, on Sundays. He's the biggest evangelist. He's bringing people. So he brings these two people, the husband and wife, big oak. He's like a big oak, muscular, big guy. And he brings him and his wife, and they sit at the back row last Sunday. Sit the whole time, three of them, sitting in the back row. During worship, often you and I will look at them and think, where's your respect, man? Can't you stand before the Lord when you worship the Lord? Can't you see the rest of us? We're not just standing, we've got our hands in the air, and you're sitting there, you lazy, no good. How can you do that? You know, when I meet them afterwards, they say, yo, I've got goosebumps. That singing, they don't call it worship, they don't know what. They say that singing, and that boy that sings there, he's got a voice, and I get goosebumps. But they sat it the whole time. And we judge them, we say, wow, where's your, have you got no respect for Jesus? Stretch me, Lord. Stretch me, my thinking. Are you satisfied in your relationship with Jesus? Are you content? Or is there more for you? Or have you fallen into ritualism? Have you fallen into a form of Christianity that has no power? And you just go through the motions. So I told you I'm going to stretch you and offend you a little bit here. But I'm going. I've got a church that loves me there. What about... Yeah, they have to put up with this every Sunday. Shame, the poor church. And they still keep coming. Even this guy, Big Jack. I clap him. Bah! Every time. And when I have lunch with him, I hit him again. Bah! He's like, you, it's sore, but I like it. Hit me again. Kind of thing. Stretch me. What about in sharing your faith? When last did you share your faith with people? Or are you a James Bond Christian? Secret agent, 007. Nobody even knows you're a Christian. You're just ducking, diving. Or, don't be a weird Christian. I'm not saying that this Monday, you go into the office and you walk down into the canteen area and you say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, everybody. I'm a Christian. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. You don't have to be weird, man. Just one-on-one, share with people that you follow Christ and that you love Him. What about financially? Stretch me. Stretch me, Lord. Now, we serve free cappuccinos. We've got two cappuccinos machines. We serve hundreds of cappuccinos every Sunday. We serve before the 8 o'clock meeting, after the 8 o'clock meeting, after the 10 o'clock meeting. And the people line up at both machines. And I like to walk and meet people and greet people. And I walk up to the people that are lining up for coffee. And I greet them. I say, how's it? Great. If I don't know them, pleased to meet you. If I do know them, it's wonderful. And I say to them this. I say, hey, I'm sorry that you have to wait for the coffee. There's a line here. But remember, it's free. they go and moan. It's free. If you don't want it, you can go buy one at Wimpy if you want. But we serve free cappuccino. But we've got a contribution jar there if you'd like to give. And what I say to the church, I say, I want to stretch you as a church. You know, if you don't contribute to the life of this church, now money is such a sensitive thing. Now I say this to the church. So I'm talking to my church, the whole church. Okay, of course it's Jesus' church. You know what I mean. Don't get religious on me. What I'm saying, I say, you when the baskets come around, you don't ever put any money in. You don't contribute anything to the life of this church. But every Sunday, you come and you enjoy the worship, you enjoy the facility, you enjoy the preaching, you enjoy the coffee, because I watched you, some of you have about 3 cups. And you never put any money in. What I want you to do is look to the person to the side of you and thank them for paying for your coffee. And everyone laughs, a little nervous laugh. But the reality is, we don't want stingy people. I don't want you to be stingy. You can come stingy, but I don't want you to stay stingy. We want to teach you to be generous like our God. When he gave his best. He gave Jesus. Amen? Amen. So stretch me. Last one is lead me. Search me, break me, stretch me, lead me. Lead me, Lord. Take my gifts, my talents, my resources, my life, my energy, my future, and I put them in your hands. You lead me. You see, the world teaches you to find yourself. Isn't it? You can go to self-help books and self-help this and even, dare say this, psychology and psychologists, and they say you need to find yourself. And we need to go back into your past and see what happened there. And that's the justification for the way you're living now. No. My Bible says die to yourself. You don't find yourself and you look at yourself in the mirror every morning and you say, oh, I'm a champion. Hallelujah, I'm a champion. No, he's a champion, man. You're not a champion. You're a child of God, yes. But you know, take our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes on him. Then our problems will disappear. A lot of our problems, when our eyes are fixed on ourselves, the world will tell you, find yourself, discover yourself. And I know there's some truth to that. But you know how you find yourself? You lose yourself. Isn't that what the Bible says? The way you find yourself, you lose yourself. And you say, Lord, you lead me. You guide me. You take me. You lead my life. It's the safest place. Lead me. Is he leading you in every area of your life? Or there's some areas of your life where, you know, you can lead me there, Lord, but yeah. I know this. I'm a career. I'm a businessman. I know how to negotiate deals. I know how to steward my finances. I don't need your help there. You can lead me in the church spiritual stuff. But in this stuff, Lord, I've got it together. Well, let's ask him to search you and show you and me areas where we haven't let him lead us. These are dangerous prayers. But I want to suggest, and all this stuff we can't do without his ability, without his help. And I want to propose one last prayer. If you're far from God this morning, I'm going to land right now. If you're far from God, maybe you've never crossed the line of faith. There's that line of faith that you cross as you become one of his. Maybe you've never crossed that line. Or maybe you did one day, but you've drifted far away from God. I don't know where you are with God. I want to encourage you to pray a prayer, and I'd love to pray with you this morning. Coming to God, living transparently, living free and living openly. It's a prayer of surrender. It's where we say, God, I've come to the end of myself. I need you, Lord. I need you. There was this guy in our church who saw me about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. He came to see me. He says to me, listen, I need to see you. He's been coming for about a year. He says, I want you to know this. I come to church because of my wife. Okay? She is a Christian, and she wants to come to church, and I come to support her. But I'm not a Christian. I've been coming here for a year, but something weird has been happening to me over the last couple of months. So I said, well, what's been happening to you? He says, when I come to the meeting and during the singing and all that, I get emotional. I want to cry and I get goosebumps. What is wrong with me? He says. What is wrong with me? What must I do to change this, to stop this? So of course I tell him, you must let go, buddy. Just surrender. And when you feel tears coming, let them come. It's amazing how many of these young men that get saved in our church say this to me. They're strong, aggressive, cage-fighting men. But when they come into the presence of God, they say they become emotional. And during the singing, they want to cry. Isn't that beautiful? See, when the Lord touches you, that's what you... When you see who you are and you see how wonderful he is, all you can do is cry. So I said to this guy, just surrender. Next time I give an altar call, when I ask you to, do you want to cross the line of faith? Why don't you respond then? And 2 Sundays ago, I did the same that I'm doing now. I said, I want to pray for you. If you want to cross that line of faith, or if you're far from God and you want me to include you in a prayer this morning, we all close our eyes. Just raise your hand so I can see. He was the first one. Raised his hand high. High like this. Sometimes they raise their hand, they wait for me to see. Because I might be looking over there. And then I just wink like this. And you see them smile. Because I tell you, it gives me the most joy. Most joy. Like that guy, this Jack guy, he sits in that corner, he puts his hand up every Sunday. I got like this. Every Sunday. Now I need to tell him, he doesn't have to do that anymore. Can I give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ this morning? Would you mind closing your eyes with me? And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift of salvation. Jesus, you are amazing. You rescued us. You delivered us. You saved us. You've forgiven us of our sins, our past, present, and future sins when you died on the cross. In our place, you went to the cross in our place. And Lord, when we pray these prayers, we're not praying them because we're trying to earn your love. When you went to the cross, you displayed your love for us. And all we have to do is receive it. And Lord, I want to give opportunity to people here this morning that may have never crossed the line of faith or are far from you. And I want to pray with you, friend, if that's you. you want to respond to God this morning. So I want to pray. If you want me to include you in a prayer, would you be bold enough to put your hand up so I can see? Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank you at the back there. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Wonderful. Wonderful. Why don't you pray this? Thank you, sir. Why don't you pray this in your hearts? Thank you. Thank you. Why don't you lift your hearts to the Lord, and why don't you can pray this in your hearts, fine. Say, Lord Jesus, why don't we all say that if we want to, if we join these people, say it out loud. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, acknowledging that we need you. We want to repent of our sin, of living selfishly and in rebellion towards you. This morning, we thank you for what you did on the cross, for dying on the cross in our place, for shedding your blood that paid the penalty for our sin. This morning, we receive your forgiveness. We declare that we are a child of God. Help me live the rest of my life in a way that honors you and gives you much glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. So great to be with you, huh? Now go reach those lost people out there. They need Jesus. Amen.